Cause if you come from Clarendon, and if you come from Portland, and if you come from Westmoreland, you're an African. So don't care where you come from, as long as you're a black man, you're an African. No mind your nationality, you have got the identity of an African. Cause if you come from Trinidad, and if you come from Nassau, and if you come from Cuba, you are an African. So don't care where you come from, as long as you're a black man, you're an African. No mind your complexion, there is no rejection, you're an African. Cause if your flexion high, 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 your flexion low, and if your flexion in between, so don't care where you come from, as long as you're a black man, you're an African. No mind denomination, that is only segregation, you're an African. So don't care where you come from, as long as you're a black man, you're an African. No mind your nationality, I've got the identity of an African. Cause if you come from Brixton, and if you come from Easter, and if you come
know what I'm saying? Catch me out here with them good people. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to them good people. You know what I'm saying? It's so lit. We out here mad ethnic right now. You know what I'm saying? Shout out MLK. Shout out Martin. You know what I'm saying? You already know. Shout out my nigga Malcolm. You already know.
You're now tuned into Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR's radio station. We are broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam, Coast Salish, Tsleil-Waututh territory here live from the most western part of UBC, the Lower Mainland. If you never tuned into Off the Beaten Path, listen, you're in for a treat. It's Black History Month. So you know what that means. We're going to have the same programming, but, you know, a little blacker than normal. If you, this is your first time listening to Off the Beaten Path, welcome. If you listen frequently, thanks for tuning in. And if, you know, you just happen to be on the road, you just happen to be in your car, just checking out, you know, what's on community radio? Well, you've tuned into Issa Aryan. And what we do here on the show is we like to talk a little bit about what's going on here locally, what's going on here nationally. You've got a lot of news. What's going on here all over the world? You know, we talk about the things that matter to the people. You know, the things that are going on with the people. And sometimes you never know where we're going to go. Sometimes we might have an interview. Sometimes it might just be me. Sometimes we might get a caller. If you tuned in to 101.9 here on CITR, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. If you or maybe somebody you know is pro trucker. You know, I feel like everybody, if you listen to the show, maybe you know. If you don't, if you're not from around Canada or from the Lower Mainland, there is, or supposed to be, a convoy that was traveling from the western part of Canada all the way to Ottawa, where the parliament is, so that they could. That's the question. So that they could what? You know, I think that, you know, we've heard lots of different things about the truckers, and I felt like it was pretty clear that the movement was directionless. I honestly, I say that as someone who's pretty skeptical, but I'd be willing to listen. So if you maybe, or you know someone, and you're like, you know what, they would be great. I bet they would bring a great perspective that the people need to hear. They can call in at 604-822-2487. It's 604-UBC-CITR. Or you can call in and tell me. You can call in and say your opinion about the envoy. I mean, honestly, if you're going to talk about it, if somebody calls in, because I feel like it would be very interesting, honestly, to just understand what do they think it's about. Because I feel like nobody knows. Well, we have an idea, but... You know, I'm a researcher. I like to stay objective until I have the facts and then make my observation. But today is the first day of Black History Month. So when we come back, we are going, before we get into like news, we're going to talk a little bit about maybe a Black history figure you have never heard of. Let me get back from this commercial break.
Listen, radio is an important means of communicating 3,000 years of habit in terms of diapering of babies.
Well, please tell me more.
Because radio reaches people, including those hard-to-get young people. Radio goes where they go and talks their language, recognizing the importance of contemporary sound.
And the sounds are instantly recognizable as belonging to the in-groups currently on top of the charts.
CITR, 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
It's wild.
Yeah. You know, I was just downstairs. And I was on my way up here to the studio, and a guy bumped into me, and he said, yo, Chris, how is it that you stay in this music, you know, this rap music especially, for so long, so long? I said, well, you know, years ago, I made a deal with the goddess. He said, the goddess? I said, well, yeah, you might know her as God. But I know her as the goddess, the universal mother, the mother of everything you see in existence. I asked her for assistance in lyrical persistence. And she gave it to me under one condition. She said, I'll give you the gift, but use the gift to uplift. I said, okay, Mom. So I tell you the truth, really. Me not gonna need nothing else but health, wealth, and knowledge of myself. Me not gonna need nothing else but health, wealth, and knowledge of myself. In the beginning was the word was made flesh. Knowledge K, brains all, supreme S. Some of us guess while others of us are blessed. Take heed to the word that I manifest. I manifest the future, the present, followed by the past. Everything in nature rules by kicking ass. What they telling me? But yo, you a friend to me. So I'ma tell you the secrets of MC longevity. Secret one, if it ain't fun, you're done. And about your career, well, choose another one. If you don't like what you do, you're through. Lesson two, make sure you got a dope crew. Not some crew, that's like an anchor on a shoe. A mad crew, that's of some benefit to you. Lesson three, might be contradictory or funny, but MCs should have other ways of getting money. That's to say, learn other things besides music. Make money elsewhere. Hip-hop, you won't abuse it. Too many MCs, just MC. So their longevity is based on an Uncle Tom at the record company. Lesson four, sell your image. Never sell a record. Image is respected. Records come and go and get collected. Even the records of platinum artists that used to rip shop can be bought for a quarter at the thrift shop. Which brings me to lesson number five, the illusion. Heads be thinking, the minute they drop a record, they'll be cruising in the Acura. Slow down, you're still an amateur. What separates the pro from the amateur is stamina. Not how long you can rhyme, but how long you've been rhyming. Changing with the times and finding yourself still climbing for wealth. Blow for blow, you're still growing. Still shown. Oh, no. Now that's a pro way. Men not gonna need nothing else but health, wealth, and knowledge of myself. Men not gonna need nothing else but health, wealth, and knowledge of myself. Thank you, mother. I'm out.
You're back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR, the best radio station here in Canada. I don't know if you've heard, if you've been listening to CITR, but the Fun Drive is going on. So the Fun Drive is our annual fundraiser that helps to support everything that goes on here at CITR. So that's the programming, the salaries for the people that keep the station going, the people who put the programs on for all of like the camps and the DJ schools for the youth, and, you know, just helping people get their voices out. And it is an important club. I put some of my own money into the Fun Drive, and you should put some of your money into the Fun Drive, because if we want to build community, I think of this show as community, it is important that we all do our part, you know, and sometimes that part is time and sometimes it's money. So you should, if you like, you know, think about, maybe you can contribute your time and come up to CITR. Maybe you might have a show. Maybe you might come and support some live music that CITR puts on, you know, the Shindig every year. It's always great. They do the Battle of the Bands. Like, they do so many clubs that really help people who might not normally get an opportunity to speak and to be heard. An opportunity to share their voice here on CITR. So think about that. You can call in, or you can go to CITR.ca/offthebeatenpath. And you can donate under my name, or you can donate under any other show. Appreciate and thank you in advance. And like I promised, it's Black History Month. And over the next 4 weeks, because luckily the Black History Month falls on the first falls on a Tuesday with me. And so each week I'm going to be sharing, maybe it will be I wouldn't say a little known Black history fact, but I would say maybe a little known Black history fact to you. So this first week is about One of, I think, was cool. It's just cool to me. Maybe it might not be cool to you. So I don't know if you know, you listen to the show, you might know a little bit about me. You know that I like to sail. Like I have these visions of like sailing everywhere, you know. And by the grace of the universe, you know, I will be able to do those types of things. But you're only able to go as far as you can see, you know what I mean? And you have to see somebody do it before you, I feel like, very often. However, sometimes there's pioneers and true pioneers. And so one of those pioneers is Matthew Henson. And I don't know if you know about Matthew Henson, but he was born, in 1866 in Maryland, to sharecroppers, where at the age of 11, he left his home to find his own way and to just find out what was he going to do with his life. And now I could, you know, I'm sure you're probably right now, you're thinking about maybe yourself at 11 or maybe someone you know, an 11-year-old, you know, or a friend, a family, maybe a nephew, a niece, a cousin. And then imagine them just leaving the house and be like, you know what, I'm going to make my own way. I'm going to live my life, you know. Anyways, he did that. He ended up on a ship, and that ship went all the way to Nicaragua and traveling from Asia to Africa to Europe. And in 1884, the captain of the ship died. Henson found his way back and then found his way to an adventurer named Robert Peary. And so him and Robert Peary made all types of explorations. They went all around from Greenland to South America to Africa to basically all over, collecting things and bringing them back from museums and just being all out. So I'm sure this took a big strain on Matthew Henson's marriage, and he was divorced in 1897. So he was about, you know, 36 years old, just figuring out, like, you know, I don't have a wife anymore. I'm just going to go. I'm just going to try to make it. So him and Peary make several attempts to get to the North Pole, and in 1909, they get to the North Pole. The story is that Matthew Henson had, he was like the more experienced and would often go ahead, obviously, because, you know, they send us, you know, to go check it out. And he was on the North Pole, and I think it took 2 kilometers for a period to catch up. And so Matthew Henson, first man to the North Pole. And when he came back, obviously, he didn't get the recognition that he deserved because it all went to Peary, because this is the early 20th century and he's black. But if you look at any pictures of Matthew Henson, he's the coolest looking explorer, obviously. And he went to the North Pole first. So you're welcome. Thank you, Matthew Henson, for being an inspiration to all types of explorers, but particularly black ones. So if you are an explorer and you want to go outside this week, you have been shocked and to realize that it is cold as hell outside. It's supposed to snow tomorrow with a high of 2 degrees. A high of 2 degrees. 2 degrees Wednesday, Thursday. I have a high of 6 on Friday and a high of 6 on Saturday. So it's going to be cold all weekend, pretty much cold all week. So I hope you stocked up on groceries and you have been able to avoid that trucker convoy making an inconvenience in your life. When we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about one practice that I think feels to me to be a little outdated, but maybe to others, it seems right. I can't imagine. I feel like you'd be on my team.
Tragedies, prophecies, fallacies. I've been climbing the mountain since I could breathe. In search of my crown, 3,000 meters above the ground. Everest don't freeze. Keep moving so you don't freeze.
Yeah. Can't be calling you loyal if the first signs of trouble you running. Can't say that I know you if I ain't seen you at your worst when we coming from nothing. Do my successes annoy you or just serve you as motivation? Is it pain when I enjoy or indulge? Fruits of my own labor. Diggins is grown player. If I can do it, you can too. Go get your own player. Cause ain't no place for the jealous and hating. We only out here celebrating each other. This black everydayish. All you need is the patience, determination. Cause the mountain is high. When you slip, it will test you. Have you doubt in the climb? Right when you about to arrive. Some take the easy way out, hitch a ride on the back of whoever is on the way up. They never show what they made of. They never put in the work. There's only so far I can take you. You got 2 feet so you can stand. I just hope you see the top just like we planned.
Yo, you back off the beam path here on 101.9 CITR. That was a little bit of some new Canadian music. I don't know if you're familiar, Sergeant and Comrade. I found a lot of new Canadian music this past week. I think it's a good time because oftentimes when I find Canadian music, like hip-hop, or it all sounds the same, but I'll be playing some nice Canadian new music all month because I've been blessed to just been able to have the time to, you know, to listen to some music and find some good stuff for y'all. That's what this is about. You know, the show is about bringing you some music, some news, you know, so that you can go out, feel pretty good. You know, I feel like it's been a long time since we've had to talk to strangers. This is something that I've had to learn in the past few months. Like, as I feel like, probably a little stupidly, you know, that like, man, I'm going to have to talk to people like in real life again. You know, eventually there's going to be a time where I have to talk to strangers again, and it takes a little bit of practice. And so sometimes you need to, you know, have something to talk about. And so you can always feel confident that if you listen to Off the Beaten Path on Tuesdays, or if you listen to it on Thursdays, maybe you listen to it on Friday because you have a busy week, but you can always feel rest assured that like, you'll know what's going on. You know, and you'll be able to talk about something and feel good about it, you know, something like this. So BC extended aerial wolf call for more than 5 years. I bet like that's not something that they talk loudly about. Like, I feel like when the politicians talk about things, they talk about things that obviously aren't going to, like, nothing's going to happen, like defunding the police. Like, while I feel personally, rational people feel that there is merit behind defund the police, the politicians are just going to talk about it, and they're going to posture, and they're going to position themselves on a side. But in your actual reality, they're not defunding the fucking police. You know, that shit's not happening. But what they do is they do extend things called aerial wolf call. And so officials estimate from between 200 and 300 wolves will be shot from helicopters each year. And this is in part to protect caribou population as the wolves prey on the caribou. And so I think that it's interesting is that, like, we have this policy, obviously, that nobody talks about because I feel like it would be highly debated, because we tend to think, I don't say we, but because obviously nobody listened to the show made this decision. And if you are listening to the show and you did make this decision, you know, I'm available for some consulting. But, like, you know, the idea that you didn't think about the ecosystem and, like, as a system, you know, you just can't shoot wolves and think that that's going to save the caribou population while we continually push up against and log the grazing population that the caribou live in. So you can't at the same time eliminate their ecosystem and while artificially lowering the amount of predators. It'll never come to equilibrium because we haven't stopped the first input, which is humans cutting down all of the trees. And so it's interesting that, you know, that they kill wolves, even though we know that from, you know, a pretty highly publicized example in Yellowstone, where they stopped killing the wolves and everything started to be better in the habitat. It just seems a little bit, like the lack of foresight, but, you know, there's people who work on this who know a lot better than me, but, you know, from the few articles I read, I feel like I'm pretty much an expert. And also, I do understand systems. Like, I may not be a wolf expert, but even the goose experts get shit wrong. So one thing I thought was very interesting, because, you know, I'm always on Team Animal trying to figure the shit out because I feel like they get a rough go. Like, imagine you're a wolf. How do they pick the 200 or 300 that die? Is it random? You know, do they get to pick the wolves? You know, is there some type of, like, imagine you're just chilling, being a wolf, and you just get shot from a helicopter. That sucks. They kill, like, one wolf a day. Like, imagine if that was your job. You fly up in a helicopter, you shoot one wolf a day, fly out. Like, all we know about animals, those are not wolves you're killing. Those are relationships. It's terrible. But there is a goose that was tagged in Nanaimo in BC, and just recently it was spotted 3,000 kilometers away in Chicago. I was so interested when I read this story because I never imagined, like, how far a bird could fly. Like, I think I've watched on Planet Earth, you know, you see about those seabirds that are just flying across the ocean. But I didn't feel like geese were built like that. So this is the furthest that they have ever seen one of these geese fly. The previous like max length was just from Nanaimo to Alberta, which was like 1,000 kilometers. So this is three times as much. It's kind of incredible. They are making speculations about the goose being pushed by a storm, but I just can't imagine. Why can't the explanation be like, this goose just wanted to explore? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like all we know about animals is that we don't know shit about animals. So, you know, how do we know that this goose just wasn't like, you know what? I want to check out what Chicago looks like. There's lots of people from Vancouver who go to see Chicago, see what it's like, you know, wanting to go see what the rivers are like, see what the Great Lake is like. Who knows? But I have faith that these animals are smarter than we think they are. And just went on a little ride. There's been some weird things going on here in Vancouver. We talked a little bit about how, like, over the past few weeks, about how it's pretty nonsensical that the CBC publishes a study, or the CBC even does a study. Like, that, it's really hard to think that people are still paying for studies that find that there's poor in poor neighborhoods or in low neighborhoods with lower income, they have higher crime rates. Like, I feel like all we know, especially with what we know about what's going on right now in economics, it would just make sense. But in the downtown east side, it seems to be getting more violent. Somebody got their hands cut off with a machete, and somebody got stabbed while they were sleeping. I was like, God damn. That seems pretty, like, I feel like once you start getting the machete crimes out, then I have to start being like, okay. I kind of understand, because not going to lie, machetes kind of terrify me. They're just too big. I don't know if you've ever seen a machete or held a machete mostly, but you feel it's, you're like, this is a weapon, you know, this is not like a, it doesn't really feel like a tool, you know, it feels very weapon like. And so it's getting a little bit dangerous, but also these are things that we understand happens that comes with poverty. It comes with extreme poverty, especially. I never thought, this was like a few years ago. I came to the conclusion that, like, with COVID and now the amount of people who work from home, the amount of people who don't travel to the office or go to, you know, have to go to an office downtown or just anywhere where there might be housing vulnerable people who are panhandling. Just like the immediate revenue loss in the income loss for people, for panhandlers, especially, I thought about this when we went to like more cashless society, but as we go to, you know, working from home where people aren't even passing, we're not even passing, you know, housing vulnerable people anymore. What is life like? You know, how does that affect someone's life and someone's expectations for, you know, for what they can make in a day, or, you know, what type of hot meals they can get, or where they, if they can find a safe place to sleep. You know, that is what, you know, people's money went to. So, you know, it's going to be interesting because it's just going to continue to get worse because they're going to continue to be poor and they're going to continue not to have money. And it's just going to continue to get more and more strained. Yeah. So I wonder if the CBC will do anything more besides write articles that say, wow, so surprising that poor people are poor and people are committing crimes. And people are getting violent, because that's what happens when shit gets real. People get violent. When we get back, I'm going to talk a little bit about how people continue to get scammed. And while I love it, I kind of hate it.
Don't wanna slow down. If you're not here with me, yeah, here with me, here with me, here with me, yeah. Don't wanna slow down. Don't wanna slow down. If you're not here with me, yeah, here with me, here with me, here with me. Yeah.
Heart attacks, cardiac arrest me. Seems I'm the only one that gets me. Set me free, I'm falling back. I don't want you back. Calling, hanging up just to call me back. We fuck love like where them dollars at. Sad we ended at where we started at.
All the rules, yeah, we broke that. Yo, I would say that. I don't show that. Post with Kodak, follow Zodiacs. Hold me down and never hold me back. Shit, this is the way it is. I don't wanna fake this shit. Pray that you take this in when they play this shit. Probably gonna hate this shit. I hate this shit.
Don't wanna turn down.
let me see you work. You hear my name and I know it hurts. Fire's out and still feel the burn. You crying now, yeah, tables turn. My feelings are pure like the drugs in your purse. He got you now, but yeah, I had it first. He love you better, cause I would've worse. Feelings are dead, but loving hurts. Work, girl, let me see you work. You ain't trying to feel, cause feelings hurt. Jam my name through the dirt with all your friends. Matter of fact, fuck your friends. I already fuck your friends. How you even call them friends? Them bitches play pretend, pray you take this in when they play this shit. How they gonna hate this shit? I hate this shit.
Don't wanna go down. Don't wanna slow down. Bitch, you're not here with me. Bitch, here with me. Here with me. Here with me. Yeah. Don't wanna go down. Don't wanna slow down. Fall out the sky. I close my eyes and the thought of you never dies. Why do I try with a heart that was never mine? With a heart that was never mine. Angels will cry and the moon will fall out the sky. I close my eyes and the thought of you never dies. Why do I try with a heart that was never mine? With a heart that was never mine.
You're off here with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR. And something that I don't understand sometimes is that, like, why would somebody go to, like, this is why I think sometimes just like business in general is a scam, because why would you go through your, like, all the hoops and everything to put together a business only to have no intention of, like, running a business well. So this is, like, kind of a scam. And then we get into the real scam, you know, a little bit after. So every once in a while, the news allows people to call in and tell the scams that are going on. And so there's this article, you can go check it out. It's called Sleepless Nights and No Satisfaction. Buyers Get Runaround Returning Ghost Bed Mattresses. Now, if you've never heard of Ghost Bed, I have seen their advertisements on Facebook. But if you don't long go on Facebook, you probably have never seen them. It's like one of those Instagram, Facebook companies, you know, Amazon companies, whatever. And they sell mattresses. They, like, want to compete with Casper and Purple and, you know, those, like, mattresses that are, like, sent to your house and they are supposed to be comfortable anyways. So if you look at this picture, the real crime is this man. Like, the man, what's his name? Let's find out his name. Peter Learn. Because what he needs to do is learn how to pick some better bedding. Goddamn. I can only imagine that, like, the bed that he's sitting on in this picture looks terribly uncomfortable. And Peter, if you're listening to this, like, it's nothing, there's no judgment of you or your individual character, but those pillowcases that it looks like, I don't want to say. Anyways, so basically they bought a mattress from Ghost Bed and they had a really hard time returning it. Like, obviously the company is, but it is headquartered in Florida because that's where all the great things come from. All the great things come from Florida. And so Ghost Bed has declined an interview, but I could just imagine how, like, how upset you would be to have ordered a mattress and it sucked. They said they felt like they would drown in the mattress if they slept face down, which doesn't feel like a good way. Like, it doesn't feel like a good way to go to sleep. You know, thinking that, like, wow, this could possibly be my last sleep. Just not because, like, you want it to be, but because it's a mattress and it's tough. to sleep in. I can't imagine. Anyways, they didn't get their money back. The company needs to overcome customers' disinterest in buying mattresses online because they could try it on tour. I think this is like, I feel like the only reason why, now you got to listen, you got to hear me out. The only reason why a company would set up a online mattress company and then sell sucky mattresses and then also not allow a good return policy for those said sucky mattresses is because this is Big Mattress trying to cut out the competition, like make you go back to buying a mattress in store, or at least, you know, getting a hands-on feel before they deliver it to your house. Because between me and you, us two listening to this radio show, have you ever driven by a mattress shop and seen someone in there? No. Collectively, me and you, we've seen zero people in a mattress shop. And it's not a coincidence that somebody would go through all of the trouble to set up a mattress shop, like go through manufacturing, go through packaging, go through, you know, testing, go through product, all of this stuff, just to sell shitty mattresses. I can't imagine. I feel like, I mean, while I have, like, the worst opinions of people who are like hardcore capitalists, I mean, obviously people would set up something like that. Maybe I'm stupid for thinking that people might not go through all of that to sell a shitty mattress, but you would have to think that, you know, they want to compete at least. Like I, you know, if you know me in real life, I do branding, brand strategy. Like no brand I've talked to ever is like, you know what? I want to be sixth place in the marketplace. Like get me to sixth and we'll be okay. You know what I mean? Like that's not the goal, at least publicly, you know, get me to sixth place. But maybe it is for some people. Maybe sixth place is all they can hope for, but that is, it seems sad. Like they're doing the public a disservice by just existing. And I don't think businesses like that should be able to exist. Shouldn't be supplementing on people's lack of ambition, you know? I don't feel like that's, it doesn't make me feel good in my spirit. So before we get to the real heist, something that kind of irks me when I see it, and I say irks me, like it just grinds my gears, you know? So TransLink released illustrations of what Vancouver could look like in 2050. Now, I had to stop, take a second, and realize that, like, oh, 2050 is almost as close as the year 2000 was. You know what I mean? Like, the year 2000, almost as close as 2050. Kind of nuts. And when you think about that, you're like, you look at this rendering, and they have these, you know, they have these ideas about what it can look like. You can go on their TransLink website. I mean, you can go on Instagram and you can, like, look at what it might look like in 30 years. And then you're like, no, it's not going to look like that. It's impossible. And I say this as someone who got duped by this already, except by a more reputable source, Scholastic News. In 1998, I remember because I was in the fourth grade, Scholastic News in 1998 told me that by 2020, we would have flying cars. I think they might have said by 2010, definitely by 2020, said we'd be living on the moon. Like these were lofty goals, big, ambitious goals. We can't meet these. Even these goals that the TransLink has right now, I'm like, yeah, fat chance. We talked about this last week. We, as a people, like as a Homo sapiens, cannot get together and do a single thing anymore. And I think, I say that like as someone who feels that, you know, like these convoy anti-vax protesters get a lot of the voice when they only represent like 7% of the population, you know, maybe even less than that, you know, because that's like 93%, 94% of the population has got their first or at least one vaccine. So, you know, 7% of people haven't got their vaccine, and probably like, you know, a decent amount of those people probably can't get a vaccine. You know what I mean? And so, you know, we give them a lot of airtime, but don't represent like too much. But also, I just think that like, so, I mean, obviously, clearly a lot of us can get on the same page, but I think it's pretty clear we're never really going to be on the same page again. Like, I feel like that hope is lost. We need to look at attainable goals, you know, and see what we can accomplish. But TransLink, I appreciate your ambition, but it doesn't seem likely. Also, TransLink, you raise rates every 3 months. Are you using our money so that you can make renderings about what do you think the future might potentially look like? And I guess maybe it might be important for you all, but is it really worth having an artist spend money on that? I don't know. On Instagram posts? I don't know. Not sure. Let me go to... So, the Federal Trade Commission last year estimated that people on social media had been scammed out of $770 million. Now, that includes scams like they go ghost bed, whatever. $770 million, nearly $750 million, have been scams. Not like things that people bought that didn't actually work, but just flat out scams. And when people talk about how they should teach financial literacy in school so that people can start to build wealth and save properly and understand interest rates, should they also teach scamming in school? Because it seems pretty profitable. You know, I wish sometimes that I had what it took to be a scammer. You know what I mean? I just don't have it. I don't have what it takes. Because I feel like when you're scamming, especially scamming, you're selling quickly deteriorating hope. You know what I mean? Like, you're selling hope that will turn to dust into people's hands as soon as they grab onto it. And honestly, that's what I think a lot of, I feel like it's sad because we've talked about this on the show multiple times, but people feel like they need a lottery ticket, you know? And that's what a lot of these scams are, is people buying into the lottery, hoping to hit big. And what ends up happening is they end up losing their lunch. And so I think that it's interesting. This is a little misconnected, but I'm going to take you there if you're willing to come with me. Earlier today, Brian Flores wanted to start off his Black History Month as the MVP and let people know, as he filed a class action lawsuit against the NFL, saying that they are violation of their Rooney rules and violation of the fair hiring practices when it comes to hiring Black coaches. This is a well-known thing that the NFL has a diversity problem. I mean, I say a diversity problem. They don't think it's a problem, clearly. But where it's just sports, football particularly, is representative of, you know, how it's like a very highly micro look at what the society looks like, where you can be labor, but you can't be management, you know? And so anyways, Brian received a text from Bill Belichick. It was just, it's honestly just a mess. Like, what the type of shit I expect from the NFL. And so what is going on is that it is a miss of just like it's just like a miss of this opportunity that this league has continued to talk about supporting people, supporting black people, particularly ending racism, and they can't even get out of their own way. Yeah, I think it's something that we're going to continue to see. It will be interesting as we move forward and understand a little bit more about what's going on within the Brian Flores situation, because it feels that Stephen Ross, the owner of the Miami Dolphins, who fired Brian Flores said that he paid him money. He wanted to pay him money to lose games intentionally, $100,000 a game. And as we legalize sports gambling, people are continuing to buy lottery tickets. People are continuing to try to find their way out. And you are playing a losing game if a multi-billionaire is asking his multi-millionaire, because what we have to understand is that a billion is 1,000 millions. So if you're Stephen Ross and you have 8 billion, you got 8,000 millions. You pay your coach two. That's nothing. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how much money you have in the bank. But if you have $8,000 in the bank and you give someone $2, is that giving someone any, is that $2 going to affect your life in any way? Not in the least bit. So, yeah, you tell them, like, yeah, give you another $100,000. That would be like you taking that $2 and then giving someone, and then giving that person an extra penny. One penny from that $2. It's like, oh yeah, here's the $2. I'm going to give you an extra penny every game you lose. Handle that for me. You know what I mean? Just like the amount of money is insane. Anyways, they asked them to lose. So like, this is the type of money that you as a gambler are going up against. You're going up against bees with billions. These people will make you lose your lunch. You know, and everybody's fighting for that lottery ticket. So when I see scams, like, I like seeing scams and I like talking about scams, but what they make me feel like is that they are a just a negative externality of the type of shenanigans that we have to deal with. And that's honestly, it's like, it feels like a landmine. How do you get it? Like, I think this week Biden was talking about student loans. How do you avoid some of this type of shit? It's impossible. Before we go, because I actually, I wanted to play one of my favorite, but it's one of the speeches that I come back to time. I'm black. My Black History Month starts January 1st and it ends on December 31st, and then we do it, run it back on January 1st again. So, you know, whenever I'm feeling like, you know, this is what I want to listen to. But before we do that, so much shit has been going on. Instagram is trying to charge people for, Instagram, and I cannot wait until they do that, and because I will never log on again. We do this every Tuesday. Stay and listen to this Malcolm X speech because I like it. It's called The Roots of the Tree. You can't hate the roots of the tree without hating the tree. And maybe this might be for you, or maybe you might want to share it with somebody else. We do this every Tuesday, right after Crimes and Treasons, 8 to 10. That's Crimes and Treasons with Jamal Steeles, Malik, Relly Rails, myself. And then we do it here, 10 to 11, every Tuesday, off the beaten path, sharing you what's going on in the news, what's going on in my mind, and sharing some Black History Facts all February. So take a look, listen, enjoy, and happy Black History Month, and also happy Lunar New Year.
Concern himself, since we've been away from the African continent for 400 years, 300 or 400 years. Why should we concern ourselves? What impact does what happened to them have upon us? Number one, first you have to realize that up until 1959, Africa was dominated by the colonial powers, and by the colonial powers of Europe having complete control over Africa, they projected the image of Africa negatively. They projected Africa always in a negative light. Jungles, savages, cannibals, nothing civilized. And why, then naturally, it was so negative until it was negative to you and me. And you and I began to hate it. We didn't want anybody to tell us anything about Africa, and much less call us an African. And in hating Africa and hating the African, we ended up even hating ourselves without even realizing it. Because you can't hate the roots of a tree and not hate the tree. You can't hate your origin and not end up hating yourself. You can't hate Africa and not hate yourself. And you show me one of these people over here who have been thoroughly brainwashed, who has a negative attitude toward Africa, and I'll show you one that has a negative attitude toward himself. You can't have a negative attitude toward yourself, a positive attitude toward yourself, and a negative attitude toward Africa at the same time. To the same degree that your attitude, that your understanding of, an attitude toward Africa becomes positive, you'll find that your understanding of and your attitude toward yourself will also become positive. And this is what the white man knows. So they very skillfully made you and me hate our African identity, our African characteristics. And you know yourself that we have been a people who hated our African characteristics. We hated our hair. We hated the shape of our nose. We wanted one of those long, dog-like noses, you know? Yeah. We hated the color of our skin. Hated the blood of Africa that was in our veins. And in hating our features and our skin and our blood, why, we had to end up hating ourselves. And we hated ourselves. Our color became, to us, a chain. We felt that it was holding us back. Our color became to us like a prison, which we felt was keeping us confined, not letting us go this way or that way. And we felt that all of these restrictions were based solely upon our color, and the psychological reaction to that would have to be that as long as we felt imprisoned or chained or trapped by black skin, black features, and black blood, that skin and those features And that blood that was holding us back automatically had to become hateful to us. And it became hateful to us. It made us feel inferior. It made us feel inadequate. It made us feel helpless. And when we fell victim to this feeling of inadequacy or inferiority or helplessness, we turned to somebody else to show us the way. We didn't have confidence in another black man to show us the way, or black people to show us the way. In those days, we didn't. We didn't think a black man could do anything but play some horn, you know, some sound, and make you happy with some songs, and in that way. In serious things, where our food, clothing, and shelter was concerned, and our education was concerned, we turned to the man. We never thought in terms of bringing these things into existence for ourselves. We never thought in terms of doing things for ourselves, because we felt helpless. And what made us feel helpless was our hatred for ourselves. One of the things that made the Black Muslim movement grow was its emphasis upon things African. This was the secret to the growth of the Black Muslim movement. African blood, African origin, African culture, African ties. And you'd be surprised. We discovered that deep within the subconscious of the black man in this country, he's still more African than he is American. He thinks that he's more American than African because the man is jiving him and the man is brainwashing him every day, telling him, you're an American, you're an American. Man, how could you think you're an American and you have never had any kind of American treat over here? You have never, never. 10 men can be sitting at a table eating, you know, dining. And I can come and sit down where they're dining. They're dining. I got a plate in front of me, but nothing is on it. Because all of us are sitting at the same table, are all of us diners? I'm not a diner until you let me dine. Then I become a diner. Just being at the table with others who are dining doesn't make me a diner. And this is what you got to get in your head here in this country. Just because you're in this country doesn't make you an American. And no, you got to go farther than that before you can become an American. You got to enjoy the fruits of Americanism. And you haven't enjoyed those fruits. You've enjoyed the thorns. You've enjoyed the thistles, but you have not enjoyed the fruits. No, sir. So I point these things out, brothers and sisters, so that you and I will know the importance in 1965 of being in complete unity with each other, harmony with each other, and not letting the man maneuver us into fighting one another. I say that again that I'm not a racist. I don't believe in any form of segregation or anything like that. I'm for the brotherhood of everybody, but I don't believe in enforcing brotherhood upon people who don't want it. As long as we practice brotherhood among ourselves, and then others who want to practice brotherhood with us, we practice it with them also, we're for that. But I don't think that we should run around trying to love somebody who doesn't love us. Thank you.